Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
It is unkind to not warn people about the judgment that's coming if you genuinely love them. It's not unloving, it's not unchristian, nor is it unkind to faithfully and boldly proclaim the word of God. And there's a growing in it over time. The more passion you have for Jesus, the more bold you'll feel. And God uses all sorts of circumstances and your walk with him to grow your boldness.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today, Pastor Jeff has an important message about what it looks like to be truly transformed by God. Going well beyond the simple goals of personal improvement, we're discovering the life-changing power of Jesus Christ and the process God uses to mold our hearts and minds into the person he wants us to be. No matter where you are in your spiritual life, God has abundantly more he wants to do in and through you. And before we begin today, we'd like to remind you that if you ever miss any of these daily programs on the radio, or you'd simply like to learn more about the ministry of Brave, visit bravemedia.online. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff with his Bible open to Exodus 11 for a message about the life transformation of Moses. It's titled, The Making of a Man.
As God grows us in obedience, God transforms your ears with his voice and your eyes with his favor. Notice verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, one more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt, and after that he will let you go. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out completely. What's he telling him? He's telling him, there's going to be a 10th plague. And what we don't see is Moses saying, why? Come on. How many more times do I have to go back? Why are we doing it this way? I don't understand. God's telling him, this is what's going to happen. And after the 10th one, he's going to drive you out. And you can see Moses confident in the voice of God, like, if that's the way you're going to do it, then that's the way you're going to do it. And I'm done arguing with you. When God transforms you, he transforms your ears first. He gets you listening to a voice that's different than any other voice that you're going to hear. It goes counter to everything that you believed prior to believing. But that's what he's doing with Moses. And he says that Pharaoh will surely drive him out of here completely. But notice what else. God not only transforms your ears with his voice, but he transforms your eyes with his favor. God doesn't want you to be kind of partially in and partially out. He doesn't want you to struggle with the same sin over and over for the rest of your life. What does he want? He wants to take you from who you were and make you complete in Christ all the time. And notice what he says. He says, speak now in the hearing of the people that each man ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of his people. Do you see what's going on here? Do you see what he's saying? He's saying this, go to your neighbors and ask them for their gold and silver. And then what else does he say? He tells Moses that he was going to become favorable in all of Egypt. Long-term obedience in the same direction does what? It gives Moses stature in the sight of the Egyptians, and it gives Moses stature in the sight of Israel. Only God can do that. Favor is his blessing and his goodness. Think about this. We live as aliens and strangers in a hostile world. And in this world, here's the truth. The world lives for its gods. We live for Jesus Christ. The world lives selfish and demanding. We're called to be loving servants. The world lives hostile toward God. We're called to bring him glory. The world focuses on the here and now. We know that our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what prosperity is. Prosperity is, this is temporary. Any prospering that you get in this world, temporary. It's just to show you God's good. Prosperous is when God can take things or give things and it doesn't change your love for God because you know he's good all the time. Amen? And that's what you see here. In this story, Moses has changed. Moses heard the voice of God. He thought it was really cool that there was a bush that was burning but that wasn't consumed. He was like, nice trick, God. I like that. I see what you're doing. He's gone from that Moses saying, not me, not me, not me, to okay, cool. I've told him 9 times. If you want me to tell him a 10th time, that's fine. If there's 22 more times that you want me to do the exact same thing, I'm yours. I'll do it. And if you say you're gonna bring favor, I know you're gonna bring favor. So I'm not afraid to tell people to ask their neighbors for silver and gold, because I know you said to do it. And if you said to do it, it's gonna happen. God will transform and train your ears as you tune into him. And he'll transform your eyes so you can see his goodness and favor. Let me give you a second one. God will also transform your heart with his passion and your voice with his boldness. There's a difference in Moses now. There's a passion and a boldness in him talking to Pharaoh that there wasn't at the beginning when he first got there. I mean, when he first got there and he begins to speak to Pharaoh and Pharaoh made the labor harder for Israel, I mean, Moses was like, oh no, why did you bring me here? Why are you doing this? Not anymore. He knows who he is in the Lord and he knows what he's called to do and he's not gonna stop for anything. His passion's different. Moses is not telling Pharaoh, hey, at midnight tonight, I'll be going out in the middle of Egypt and the firstborn will die. I mean, that's not what he's saying. Do you get what he's saying? He's looking Pharaoh face to face. He's like, you're right, you will never see me again. Because tonight at midnight, I'm going out in the middle of your nation and I'm gonna stand there and God's bringing judgment down on you and everybody else. From your household all the way to the slave girl that nobody knows, the firstborn will die. And I'm gonna let it be known that when it happens, that God's gonna make a distinction between our people and your people. Not even a dog will bark at our people. Our people won't even know what happened. It'll be the worst day in the history of Egypt. I can promise you that. And I'm going from your sight right now. It says Moses left in hot anger. That's biblical for he was ticked off. That's what it means. And he's saying, we're out of here. Because God told me we're out of here and I know it's the time. And you've had every opportunity to respond. You've had every opportunity to get your heart right with the Lord and you didn't, and judgment's coming on you. Do you hear a boldness in him? It's different than how he started out with Pharaoh. What happens is when you develop your passion for the Lord, you get bold, right? All throughout the New Testament, we see this word boldness. I'll give you a few verses you can write down. I'll read them to you. Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Paul, as he's writing the Ephesians in Ephesians 6:19, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. You hear that? I mean, if you want to study the pattern for how God works, here's what you'll see. Whether in the book of Acts or in any church or in any movement that the Lord has had, it always starts in prayer. Always starts in prayer where God begins to kindle the hearts of his people. And then they're filled with the Holy Spirit, which means this. They're controlled by what the Spirit wants. They're gonna do what God tells them to do. And you get a group of people together that are seeking the Lord that wanna do what God wants them to do. The next thing that happens is they speak the word with God, speak the word of God with boldness. And the fourth thing that happens is God shows up and does miraculous things. That's the pattern. Prayer, the filling of the Holy Spirit, speaking the word with boldness, and God does the work. That's what happens. It happens in the Old Testament. It happens in the New. There is a boldness that comes with the gospel. It's more than just telling people facts. There's a boldness. Now, I look at this, and you gotta be careful on this, because I think if we had social media at the time that Moses did what he did here, and it showed up on Instagram, and people were watching what he did, there'd be about half the people who call themselves Christians that would say something like this. He's not being very nice. He's not being very loving. That doesn't sound very kind. If Moses was really serving the God I serve, he would have been much kinder to Pharaoh. Tell me I'm lying. That's what people say. It is unkind to not warn people about the judgment that's coming if you genuinely love them. It is loving. You say, well, Jesus never acted like that. May I give you exhibit A in the temple where he took a cord and wound it into three strands and was whipping things and overturning the money changers and saying, you took this place, my father's house that was intended to be a house of prayer, and you've turned it into a marketplace for yourself, you den of thieves. He was angry. That's not the Jesus I serve. It is the Jesus that I serve. The same one that's kind, the same one that's meek and mild, the same one that'll extend all the mercy and grace in the world to those who are repentant is the same one that says, if you refuse, judgment is on you. That if you haven't repented, the wrath of God is already on you. We were once upon the time children of wrath, but God came through. Right? That's what Moses was doing. It's not unloving, it's not unchristian, nor is it unkind to faithfully and boldly proclaim the word of God. And there's a growing in it over time. The more passion you have for Jesus, the more bold you'll feel. And God uses all sorts of circumstances and your walk with him to grow your boldness. I had the unfortunate experience this week of listening to myself on the radio. I was driving and it was at a time I knew I wasn't on, but for some reason I was on and I was listening to myself, which I don't like to do. And as I was listening to myself, I said, okay, that's truthful and that's okay. It was a sermon from a couple years ago. And I was just like, bro, where's your passion? Like, I don't want to hear that sermon from 2 years ago. And I used to say 2 years ago, I used to say that about the sermons 2 years earlier and 2 years earlier, because God's growing my passion for him. And as he grows your passion for him, you can't help but speak about the things that the Lord is telling you to share. I mean, you remember in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John were arrested and they were standing firm in the face of all the king, and they said, there is salvation under no other name by which men must be saved except the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way people can be saved is Jesus. And when they looked at these men who were ordinary, uneducated men, they realized that they had spent time with Jesus. If you'll spend time with Jesus, and if you'll allow him to share with you what he sees in the world and what he's called you to do in the world, it will grow your passion. When God gets a hold of your heart and he begins to say, no, this is what it is and this is what it is, he unfolds one step at a time the things that are coming that are next. That's what he wants to do in you. He transforms your heart with his passion. When you go all in with Jesus, you become more passionate about it, which translates into a bold, resolute voice. God wants you to use your bold, resolute voice. Even you that would say, I'm an introvert. You introverts, you have some of the deepest relationships with people in the world. He may not ask you to stand on a platform and speak, but how about with the two or three people you have deep relationships with? Do they hear the boldness in your voice for Jesus? Right? That's what he's talking about. And then third, God says this. As you walk with him in long-term obedience, as he makes you into the man he wants you to be, as he makes you into the woman he wants you to be, God transforms your mind with his peace, and he transforms your walk with his power. He transforms your mind with his peace and your walk with his power. Notice this, verse 9. This is after he bursts out in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my wonders will be multiplied in the land of Egypt. What's Moses' responsibility? His responsibility is to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. How many times has he done it? Over and over and over again. So here's what he does. Here's what God says to him after he's done everything God's asked him to do. Good job. It's not going to work. You preach for nothing. I mean, I think about Noah, preached for 120 years and saw 8 people saved, and they're all out of his own family, right? I mean, it's not about the response you get that shows your faithfulness to the word of God. It's about what God does. But notice Moses, he's got a peace. In verse 10, we don't see him complain or whine like, I knew I should have never come. Why did you do this? What a waste of time it was. You don't see it. You know why? Because he has peace. Do you know you can have peace too? The Bible says that we start our peace with the Lord. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have peace with God in the middle of this crooked and depraved world. Or how about Philippians 4:6-7? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Did you know you have peace in this world? I think you know my conviction continues to grow and my passion for the Lord continues to grow and hopefully my boldness continues to grow, but I sleep good. If I don't see things change, that's God's job. He's the only one that can make change. He's the only one that can do it. I still have peace in my heart. I mean, I still see that it's up to the Lord. It's not up to us. We get to respond to whatever we hear. And if we do respond to what God does, he'll do amazing things among us. And I want to see that. But if for some reason he doesn't do that, he doesn't choose to do that, or we don't respond the way he wants, I still have peace with God. I just want to know I'm doing what God wants me to do, but I'm still going to sleep okay at night. I'm still going to have a relationship with my wife and my kids and do all those things. If I don't see that God's leading my kids just the way I want, or if I don't see my marriage going just the way I want, or I don't see my finances going just the way I want, I still have peace. God, you're the God of order. You're the God that's bringing all. I still love you, Lord. Whatever you choose to do, that's where Moses is at. He's got peace with God. Why? Because he realizes we don't work for God. We belong to God, and God works through us. Do you hear that? We don't work for God. We belong to God. He's the one that works through us. He says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's the Holy Spirit in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what he's talking about. Do you trust his peace? I mean, it's one thing to get fired up about the things of God and then steamroll people. It's another thing to get fired up about the things of God and do the things he's called you to do and then have peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Chillax. He's got this, right? And notice this, as he transforms your mind with his peace, he's also going to transform your walk with his power. Notice what verse 10 says. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh. Performed all. They did all sorts of supernatural things before Pharaoh. Yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land. Why did Pharaoh harden his heart? Why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Because when you bring a hard heart to God, God's going to harden it even more. Five times, I think we read that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Five times we see God harden Pharaoh's heart, right? Both go together. What's God looking for? A soft heart. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You have responsibility for your heart. You can only control your heart. You can't change anybody else's heart. But if you have peace with God and you're growing, guess what God's gonna do through you? He can do supernatural things through you that you would never even imagine. See, in the West, we have this theology that's so weak and anemic that we'll ask things like this. How come God doesn't do all the things that we read about in the Bible? How come when I read what Jesus did in the Gospels and how come when I see what the apostles did in the book of Acts, he just doesn't seem to do that stuff anymore? Well, he does. And usually all it takes is a mission trip going somewhere in the world where you have to pray and be filled with the Spirit and speak the word boldly, and then you begin to see those things happen. You see demons manifest themselves, you see physical healings, you see all those things, and then you ask this question, why is it not happening in America to the fullest extent? Here's why, because you're not going all in with Jesus. You're not walking in the same direction long-term with Jesus. So then we have errant theology, where people that sit in seminaries will say things like this, because we don't see it, God has ceased doing what he's already done. He ceased that after the first century. He doesn't do that stuff anymore. So we give people a false theology that the same God that's the same God yesterday, today, and forever is now anemic and can't do what he did yesterday, today, and forever. The problem is not God. It's the same God. He'll do all the same things. The problem is us because we've been dumbed down to believe the false lie of the enemy that says God doesn't do that stuff anymore. He does it all. Now, do you remember Jesus when he came down on the Mount of Transfiguration and a father brought his son to Jesus and said, you know, my son keeps throwing himself into the fire. He's got something going on in him. I brought him to your disciples and they could do nothing. And Jesus said, you perverse and wicked generation, bring the boy to me. The father said, well, if you can do something, that'd be great. He goes, if I can, I can do all things for him who believes. And he heals the boy. Now, not at that time, but later when they could save face, the disciples asked Jesus, how come we couldn't do that? And what does Jesus say? This type only comes out by what? Prayer and fasting. Now, we read that as Americans, and we think this. Well, what prayer? What specific prayer do I pray so I can do miracles? How many meals do I have to skip in order for God to do miracles? See, that's not what he's talking about. He was talking about long-term prayer and seeking the face of the Lord. Long-term fasting of saying, I'm going to go without food because I want the things of God. And you walk in a way where you're hungry for the things of the Lord and you're seeking his face and knowing his voice and you're transformed by his passion and you're transformed by his boldness and that's really what you want, then God's able to do things through you you would never imagine. That's why you don't see him. Because for many of us, we think that there's some magic prayer we can pray or some certain thing we can do and then it's all gonna work out. But we don't expect that in any other area in our life. If you're a young guy and you wanted to play professional sports and you ask somebody, hey, how long do I need to practice? What would they tell you? Over and over and over again. If you said, well, more than a half an hour a day? Yes. Maybe consume your whole life with it. That's what I'm telling you about Jesus. You want to see God do the most work through your life? Go all in with Jesus. He will transform your life. He will use you for things that you couldn't otherwise be used for. And he's no respecter of persons. He's not looking down and saying, that guy's talented and that gal's talented. I can use them. All of us are sinners in need of God's grace, and apart from him, we can do nothing. Do you trust his power? Because I do. I trust his power. The more I get to know him, the more I believe that he can do everything I read about in the Bible is the same God that can do everything today. Doesn't mean I get to demand it of him. Doesn't mean he's required to do it to prove himself to me. But I know he's able. And I want to see him walk that way. And I'm hungry to see him walk that way. And I want to see us as a congregation see him walk that way. Right? Because there's more to coming to church than just hearing a word and singing some songs. There's the transformational power of God. Whereas we hear him, we take the next step. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. If I get home tonight and I go out in my back porch and I'm sitting around my fire pit and God speaks to me through it, but it's not burning and he tells me what to do, I promise I will do whatever he says. But I find that's not how God really works. Sometimes it's in a certain little verse of scripture, a certain whisper, and he keeps saying the same thing over and over again. It doesn't seem like a big deal, something like this. Please date your wife. Please respect your husband. Please live pure before me. Stop drinking. Be done with drugs. Leave that group of friends and find new ones. Right? It's those little things. Do well in school. Do your best at your job. Quit talking bad about that person behind their back. Don't slander them. All those little things that you think, well, that's not a big deal. Give me the big thing. That is the big thing. Those little steps, it's that little step. It's taking this and then this and then this and then this. And sometimes it's like, you need to go tell that person you were wrong and ask for their forgiveness. Yeah, I don't want that. I just want to know where you're calling me. No, just go do that. What is it he's calling you to do? What's the next step of obedience? Because the next step leads to the next step, which leads to the next step, which leads to the next step, which leads to the next step. And over time, if you continue to do this, it's called a walk. Step, 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 step. And you'll find yourself when you look over your shoulder saying, I know it's not me. I know it's the Lord. Will you allow Jesus to search your heart? Will you allow Jesus to try you? Are you willing to stand before him and say, I'll do whatever you want me to do? Or would you have the courage to even say, Lord, I don't know that I'm quite there yet. I want to be able to pray that, but in reality, I know as I'm praying that, I'm not willing to do that. Could you please help change my heart so that I could pray that prayer? What's the next step for you? Because if you can get to a place where you can start walking in obedience to him, then you'll say, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Praise his name forevermore. Because friends, one day is coming where we're all going to stand before him. Where we're all going to stand before him. And we're going to give an account for our life. And he's not going to care where you went to church. He's not going to care what the doctrinal statement read. He's not going to care all the scripture you had memorized. He's going to care, what did you do with what I showed you? What did you put into practice? What's God calling you to do? That's what he's asking you to do. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, make today your day. I'm just here to tell you, he loves you so much that you would never be more satisfied than to have a relationship with him. He's not asking you to join our church. He's not asking you to get religion. He's not asking you to jump through any psychological hoops. He's telling you, hey, why don't you repent of your sin and invite me in your life, and I'll take you to places you never even dreamed were possible. That's what he's asking. Isn't that what we all desire? To see God use us and be fulfilled in him? And he's willing to do that for any single person here. Amen?
You're listening to Brave and the Bible teaching of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today's message is titled The Making of a Man, and you can find this lesson along with the rest of our current study in Exodus by going to bravemedia.online. If you value these biblical teachings and share our passion for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, consider making a one-time donation to support this ministry. Your financial gift of any amount helps us continue producing and distributing these programs so we can reach new listeners with the life-changing truth of God's Word. Give today by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or by calling 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. If you'd like to send a check in the mail, write to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Now, as we close out today's program, we just want to invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. If you live in the Denver metro area, we'd love to meet you in person at either of our two campuses in Englewood and Westminster. No matter where you're listening from, you can also join us right from home by hopping on for our weekend live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll down, and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. In the meantime, if you have any other questions or comments to share with Pastor Jeff, you can email us, hello@bravechurch.co. And of course, if you're on social media, connect with us there. Log into your Facebook or Instagram account and search for Brave Church. Click like or follow to get connected. Well, I'm your host, Bill Carl. We're looking forward to the message coming up tomorrow titled Experiencing Freedom. So join us then, right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.